And welcome to TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. I'm your host today, Melanie Gobert.
Hello, everyone. This is Melanie Gobert, your host for today's TTELT podcast, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. Joining us today is Dr. Mohamed Benhima, who is currently an assistant professor at the English Department of Mohammed V University in Rabat, Morocco. Welcome, Dr. Mohamed.
Thank you.
Dr. Mohamed's topic is quantitative research methodology and statistical data analysis in language education. Okay, first of all, Dr. Mohamed, you were working on quantitative research methodology and statistical data analysis in language education. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. I have been working on this with the undergraduate students at the English Department of Mohammed V University in Rabat. So quantitative research, as you may know, departs from the empiricist research paradigm in that it views reality as a measurable, let's say, construct. So here, reality can be measured in terms of numbers and statistics. And this can be applied to the classroom context and language education in the sense that reality can accurately and reliably be measured, let's say, quantitatively, and here we speak of using different, let's say, tools, let's say, school records, exam scores, questionnaires, among others, and even interviews. Sometimes they can be quantified, and there are a lot of programs that can be used. Some of them are famous and available, like Microsoft Office Excel, whereas others may not be available for everyone, but nowadays, like SPSS, Statistical Package for Social Sciences, and there are like open source programs like R and Python. Nowadays, with the rise of artificial intelligence, like ChatGPT and other, let's say, tools, even in Excel, sometimes you can just write the command and Excel can do the analysis. I think it becomes easy to do the statistical analysis without having this expert knowledge. Therefore, you can run both descriptive and inferential statistics to analyze the data and test the research hypothesis on, let's say, different techniques of teaching, differences, let's say, between social demographic variables, let's say, students' age, gender, among others, along with, let's say, school achievement, and correlation between variables. So these are the major, let's say, parts that we are working on with regard to quantitative data analysis.
Okay, how can the quantitative data be collected?
Well, it can be collected in using different ways. First, it can be primary data, or it can be also secondary data. Well, primary data may be available like on some platforms like Kaggle, among others. Or sometimes we can just get primary data also from questionnaires that are developed or adapted from other studies that have already tested their, let's say, Cronbach alpha reliability and validity through exploratory or confirmatory factor analysis. So for secondary data can be taken from other studies, like doing a meta-analysis to see to do the analysis of the analysis of the studies. So this is how we can have the secondary data, and it can be also available, let's say, on the websites of ministries of education, among others, because they provide, let's say, yearly statistics on the education status in any country, I think.
Okay, you mentioned artificial intelligence. How can artificial intelligence help with quantitative data analysis?
Well, nowadays, artificial intelligence is becoming the trend. It can be used in different ways, although it is still in the process of development for accuracy and for research ethics, so to speak. But artificial intelligence, or we have usually chatbots like ChatGPT, that stands for Generative Pre-trained Model. And we have another website that is called Typeset. They are actually changing the landscape of many fields nowadays, especially in research, and especially research in the education field that relies a lot on content creation. So ChatGPT, for instance, can be used to analyze data and provide interpretations by just giving it prompt. Nowadays, we speak of a field that is called prompt engineering. So you should be aware of what to ask a ChatGPT, and you can provide it with the input. And ChatGPT is like another person that is helping you with the data analysis. You just need to give it the correct orders and the correct and, let's say, accurate prompts for it to do the analysis. And Typeset, for instance, can be used to interpret the results of different research articles. Like if you just highlight any statistical finding, Typeset will just explain it in plain language. This is how they can be used nowadays.
And what are some of the limitations of doing quantitative research on language?
Among the limitations, we have like lack of skills, especially statistics requires that you should be aware of a lot of technical terms like inferential statistics, for instance. It implies that you know Pearson correlation, Spearman correlation, for instance, parametric tests, not parametric tests, assumption checking, like normality, like Cronbach alpha reliability. So these are really not easy to learn in a short time to do the statistics. So training is needed with regard to getting the knowledge of these, let's say, key terms. So this is like one major limitation. Another limitation may be due to the lack of resources. Sometimes teachers or maybe students also may not have the resources, especially, let's say, a powerful laptop. Not that powerful, but a laptop that can help you execute some of the codes in terms of statistics. Again, we have limitations with regard to the fact that we have this negative attitudes towards statistics. Among the studies that I have read about statistics, there is this statistical anxiety among students. That's why it is noticed that most students go for the qualitative approach by going for the thematic analysis, because it does not really involve a lot of technical, let's say, terms. So I think these are the limitations in my opinion.
Well, Dr. Muhammad, I think what you were describing are more like barriers to quantitative research. But what I was actually referring to, you just touched on here, is the amount of qualitative research in language. So what I meant is, why are so many people doing qualitative research rather than quantitative research on language?
Well, I think one of the reasons lies in the fact that they try to avoid quantitative research because they don't have the knowledge to do it, because it involves being aware of statistics, and statistics takes a lot of time to learn. It's like an independent course that you should study. But since you are doing education research, you should focus on education issues. So this is why maybe people avoid doing quantitative research and do qualitative research for their, let's say, end of studies research projects. So this is my opinion, but there may be a lot of reasons and a lot of limitations that may push researchers away from quantitative research.
Okay, just one final question. How can quantitative research and qualitative research complement each other in language education research?
Well, there is this trend of using mixed method research design in which we combine both quantitative and qualitative research. And Criswell, like the father and son, 2017, have a lot of, let's say, publications, but that book of 2017 of mixed method research design, they talked about the fact that mixed research or mixed method research design imbibes from this pragmatic stance to knowledge, because sometimes quantitative research can have limitations and qualitative research can have limitations. Therefore, the solution is to mix the two to compensate for the weaknesses of each one. And there is also what we call a triangulation that consists of, let's say, four types in which we can triangulate data, like we have quantitative and qualitative data. We can triangulate, let's say, research instruments. We can have, for example, a questionnaire, an interview, or content analysis at the same time. We have also researchers triangulation, in which case we have maybe different researchers working on different parts of the project, like team project or pair project. And we have different, let's say, types of triangulation. I think those techniques, like mixed method research design and triangulation, can help, let's say, combine the two research approaches, mainly the quantitative approach that is, let's say, inspired by empiricism in the sense that knowledge can be quantified and we get reality from quantifying knowledge. But this has limitations because we don't understand the reasons behind a certain phenomenon. Therefore, we resort to qualitative research that investigates the in-depth, let's say, interpretations, and it departs from the interpretivist stance to knowledge.
Okay, let me stop you there, Dr. Mohammed. Thank you very much for that very insightful interview on quantitative research. This has been your host, Melanie Gobert, for today's episode of TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, brought to you by Educators Worldwide. Thank you, Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us today. Share with us how you are using these tips. Leave us a comment or voice message on social media or at ttelt.org. Thanks for joining this episode of TTELT, brought to you by Educators Worldwide. Follow, like, and subscribe to TTELT on your social media, and try a new teaching tip today.